There he is. Let's
call. Seven time with a charm.
Perfect. All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order. We're recording. It's 6:07, and this is the December meeting of Laws and Rules Government Services Committee. Clerk Mahler, will you take attendance?
Sure thing, Chairwoman Bartels.
Oh, here.
Deputy Chair Roberts.
Here.
Legislator Gavaris.
Present.
Legislator Heppner.
Here.
Legislator Ronk.
Here.
And Chairman Donaldson.
Here.
You have 6 members present, 0 absent.
Great, thank you. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to look at the meeting minutes and transcript. Thank you very much for the continued hard work, Clerk Mahler. I'll entertain a motion to accept the meeting minutes and the transcript.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, moved by Chair Donaldson, seconded by Legislator Heppner. All in favor of accepting the minutes and the transcript?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. Okay, I'm going to take resolution on our agenda, resolution number 7 out of order. Vin Martello and Deputy Executive Ryder are with us to discuss. So number 7, thank you. I'm just going to read it. On the agenda is late resolution number 470, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to accept the National Association of County and City Health Officials Implementing Opioid Overdose Prevention Strategies at the Local Level Grant and amending the 2021 county budget, Ulster County Department of Health. Moved by Legislator Ronk.
Move it. Second.
Seconded by Chair Donaldson. Okay, the floor is yours, Mr. Martello, if you want to give us a little background.
Sure. The NATO grant came to us about 3 weeks before it was awarded. So we really took a close look at where the gaps are that we would be able to address with this grant. And they fell into 3 different areas. One of them, which was the largest part of the grant, had to do with a strategy that we recommended from our opioid prevention task force that we convened in early 2018, and that ran just about up to the time when the previous county executive left. And that had to do with looking at the epidemic from a prevention point of view. We actually looked at the epidemic from 3 main categories: reducing supply, which was drug trafficking interdiction, medication take back, safe prescribing practices, improving treatment and recovery services, which had to do with, you know, pretty obvious, just as it says, harm reduction, improving treatment and improving the linkages between treatment, closing the gaps that people could slip into. The third was reducing demand, because we understood that, you know, that you could reduce the supply all you want. If the demand is still there, then the supply will simply rise to meet it. And the fact is that we, you know, a lot of work has been done in since the opioid epidemic was recognized as an epidemic. A lot of work has been done with in the realm of harm reduction. This is like, things like naloxone, reviving people, setting up medication-assisted treatment in emergency departments, doing all of those things that, you know, that are really fall into that triage definition of stopping the bleeding and stopping the dying. However, we understood that if you just did the work in the place where people were already addicted and already overdosing, and you didn't stop young people from coming into that substance use pipeline, that you would essentially be treading water. And we took a look at the model of tobacco prevention. Prior to 1998, youth smoking rates rose at a very, very steep curve. Then in 1998, the big tobacco settlements came, where billions of dollars was adjudged against the tobacco companies on the basis that they knew that they had highly addictive products. They continued to aggressively market them. So all these billions of dollars flowed to communities all over the nation, including ours. And youth smoking rates went down at the same curve as they rose previous to 1998, which meant that investments in prevention, public health messaging, primary prevention in the schools, all of that had a dramatic effect on youth smoking rates. So, so much money had been invested in opioid harm reduction and improving treatment, but we saw a real opportunity with this grant to do something that the task force had recommended, which is to originally it was to form a public-private partnership to help have the private sector help underwrite prevention messaging created by youth, created by students, and directed to students. And we were embarking on that. John Finch from Ulster Savings and Warb Todd from Ulster County Chamber of Commerce were ready to help us with that, and then COVID hit. So all of a sudden, this NACHO grant came along, and we actually, for the first time ever in a grant, saw they made it possible for us to apply for prevention interventions initiatives. So we put a big component in this NACHO grant vis-a-vis prevention, and that is to engage students throughout Ulster County. We have multiple high schools involved. We have BOCES involved. We have Ryan involved, raising awareness, youth awareness against narcotics, Hope Rocks, Center for Creative Education, and Ulster Prevention Council. And what we plan to do is to engage students throughout Ulster County to create peer-to-peer messaging in all media. So social media, videos, radio ads, TV ads, billboard designs, poster designs, and then organize student work groups around the various media that they might be interested in. So some might be interested in graphics, some might be interested in video production, what have you. And that we would organize these student work groups and a student leadership council, and they would have guidance from faculty and from other media professionals. I've been in the media business for several years. There's an amount in the grant to hire a consulting agency to guide students as well, because this is not just about creating random messages. This is to create an integrated messaging campaign designed around the core messaging themes of raising awareness as to the risk of drug use, de-glorifying drug use in general. Because when you think about all the money invested in over-the-counter and prescription medications, basically is sending a message to our young people that whatever difficulties come your way, there's a drug for that. And the third core messaging element is emphasizing all of the positive, pro-social alternatives to drug use, and which they've found to be, but the research shows, is one of the core mitigating strategies, the most effective mitigating strategy for deterring young people from drug use. So that's the main part of the NATO grant. That's the lion's share of it. We will also put in money for, once the students have created all of these media elements, that we will run a massive 6 months long campaign in all media that will basically everywhere you see and hear and go in Ulster County, It will be part of the landscape, part of the social media environment, part of the broadcast environment, all created by students, for students, peer-to-peer with professional guidance. That's one of the elements of this NACHO grant. Another is that we plan to help the Somati Recovery Community Outreach Center in Kingston to go 24/7 with their harm reduction services. Somati, as many of you know, has done yeoman's work. I mean, they've been in the deep trenches right at ground zero, where most of the overdoses occur in Kingston, in working with people They're a mindfulness-based recovery center, but they do a lot of work with connecting people to medication-assisted treatment. They train certified peer recovery advocates. They work with our Ulster County Jail. They do naloxone training in opioid overdose hotspots. So we're providing money in this grant to help them go 24/7 and to expand those services. And another smaller part of it is for Hudson Valley Community Services, which works almost exclusively in the area of harm reduction. And they do things like refer people to addiction treatment, inpatient and outpatient programs, transportation to admissions, expanded syringe program, syringe exchange program, Narcan training, HIV, HCV, STI testing and counseling and navigation, case management, and food assistance, all to people struggling with opioid use disorder. They lost a chunk of funding. They were funded by New York State to provide these services to Ulster County, and they're really critical services, but they lost a chunk of funding because of New York State cutbacks and because of Governor Cuomo withholding 20% of the across the board for funding services. So all in all, this grant covers all of those three really important areas. It's a $500,000 approximately grant. It's 18 months long program. I will be very much involved with Ulster Prevention Council part of it, with the media part of it. I've been on Ulster Prevention Council since 2004 when I was a town supervisor representing the Supervisors Association. I know they have deep roots in the schools and with our young people, as does Ryan and Hope Rocks and even the Center for Creative Education, which is going to do a dance performance element to this media messaging, which is very exciting. And we think that this will be a really strong, positive, proactive message to our young people to help deter them from substance use.
Thank you.
That's really the nutshell.
Okay, thank you, Vin. I'm gonna, if it's okay, I'm gonna open the floor for questions if we have any questions about this grant or anything that Vin has said in his very thorough presentation. Any questions, anyone? Legislator Gavaris?
Just so I can be clear or be sure, Vin, is the Ellenville Hospital involved in any way of this grant or no?
Is which? I'm sorry?
Ellenville Hospital.
No, not in this particular grant.
Okay.
They cross over a lot with us in our other grants, but not in this one.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay, I don't see any other questions. So on the resolution as presented, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, it passes unanimously. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to inform you about this grant, and we really appreciate your support, ongoing support. Thank you.
Thank you, and we look forward to getting updated as you administer it. Thank you.
Will do. Okay. Good night.
Good night. Have a great night. Okay, so we'll get back to the regular flow of the resolution, starting with resolution number 300, which is setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 12 of 2020, a local law amending local law number 4 of 2018, a local law establishing an Ulster County human rights law to be held on Monday, January 11th, 2021 at 6 p.m.
I'll move it for discussion.
Okay, Legislator Ronk and Legislator Heppner, was that a second? I saw your hand move. Okay, Legislator Heppner, second. Okay, on the amendment, do we have any updates? Legislator Heppner?
Were they able to get it all reflective? All the agreed upon changes between council and the county attorney, it's all reflected.
I don't think we're there yet on this one. Legislative council.
Sure. It will be by the end of this evening. Will be reflected.
It will be by the end of this evening. You mean by the end of this meeting or by the end of this evening?
I think this evening. We're close. I think we can postpone it and just have it kicked off for the start, kick it off at the start of the new year.
Is everyone comfortable with that?
Legislator Ronk agrees.
I definitely agree, because I'm unaware of the conversations with the county attorney's office on it. So I want to make sure that we're all on the same page.
Okay.
Sounds good to me. Yeah. I'll move to postpone.
Second.
Okay. All in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next resolution. Resolution number 345 is setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 13 of 2020, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter, local law number 2 of 2006, and amending the administrative code for the County of Ulster, local law number 10 of 2008, to further clarify budget modification after adoption, to be held on Monday, January 11th, 2021 at 6:10 p.m.
I'll move for discussion.
Second.
Okay, legislators Ronk and Heppner. On the resolution, legislator Ronk.
I know that, you know, Chairman Donaldson was looking to move forward with it this month. You know, I'd be willing to support a public hearing. I'd rather hold off until we can do it all, you know, at the same time, because I do still have concerns about this, because it was important to the Human Rights Task Force.
Legislator, I think you're speaking about the next resolution.
Oh, sorry. I thought they were back to back. My fault.
I did too at first. So it's no problem. Does anyone have any comments on resolution 345, which is budget modification?
I'm fine with moving forward on public hearing there.
Okay. So all in favor of resolution number 345? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay. Resolution number 425, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 15 of 2020, local law amending article XXX of the Ulster County Charter and article of the Ulster County Administrative Code to eliminate term limits imposed on commissioners, to be held on Monday, January 11th, 2021 at 6:05 p.m.
I'll move it for discussion.
Okay. In a second, let Chair Donaldson and then legislator Ronk, you can pick up where you started.
Yeah, I remember it being important to the members of the task force that, you know, there shouldn't be a hard and fast term limit, which there used to be prior to our changes, but that they did favor a cooling off period in between, you know, how many terms they're able to serve now and then being able to serve again, rather than just continuing to serve in perpetuity.
Chair Donaldson?
One of the problems we have is we often have difficulty finding people that want to serve and are very active in serving. The two-term limit just seems a little excessive in a sense. I would rather see something like maybe a four-term limit, which would be 12 years, that they could serve on that if you're going to have limits, rather than two, and then they have a cooling off period, they can't serve for 3 years. You know, this is a Human Rights Commission, and if you take a look at Human Rights Commissions throughout the country, often, you know, we look at those, and there's often people that have been on a particular Human Rights Commission for a very long time that is, you know, the voice of the community. So not only that, but we have also enhanced the powers of the Human Rights Commission, which actually creates some other liabilities that we have. So having some, you know, people that are knowledgeable are pretty important to have on there. So, I mean, I would suggest that if, you know, I mean, I'm open for a lot of different changes. I understand that there was, you know, there used to be term limits and they weren't adhered to. They just went on anyway, which is kind of odd, but that's the reality of it all. And then now we put in term limits in that they have a cooling off period. Well, I don't mind the cooling off period, but I really think just two terms or that 6 years is not that long of a time to really understand the process as well as they need to.
Legislator Ronk?
Thanks. I think that one thing that, you know, creating some inflow and outflow from the commission, you know, could help is that right now, a large majority of the commission members are from one community, not from the greater Ulster County community. They're mostly from the city of Kingston. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a negative, but it really doesn't spread geographic diversity You know, and if you require, you know, different roads to be taken, you know, every, you know, 6 years or so, you might actually have some more geographic diversity. You might have people from different portions of the county wanting to participate. Just wanted to throw that out there too.
Chair Donaldson, you offered a suggestion of a four, I think I heard you offer a suggestion of a four-term term limit. That would change this resolution. What's the committee's feeling on a four-term term limit versus no term limit? Legislator Ronk?
I guess that the question I have is it four terms and then you can never serve again? Or is it four terms, you take a break and then you come back on?
I'm not sure. What do you, what would you want?
I mean, I personally like the two terms, take a break and come back on for two more terms. I think if we're going to do four terms, I would say four terms and you can't serve again. It would be a hard and fast limit. I mean, again, you know, I would support a public hearing, but I'm probably going to vote no when it comes to us, because I think that the current plan is not only reasonable, but what the, you know, Human Rights Task Force, made up of, you know, representatives of many of the subgroups of the population that are going to be able to get relief under the Human Rights Law and Human Rights Commission, it was what they wanted.
Chair Donaldson, you're the sponsor. What's your pleasure? Do you want it to go to a public hearing as it is? Do you want to take the month to work on a compromise?
Well, I'll take the month to work on it, but right now we have a Human Rights Commission that is not really in compliance.
Legislator Heppner?
I'll move to postpone 1 month.
Second.
Okay, on the postponement?
Sure.
Okay, aye.
Aye.
The postponement passes unanimously, but if you could keep us updated, Chair Donaldson, on your thinking and any proposed amendments, and then we'll get it to a public hearing at the next meeting. Okay, the next resolution is resolution number 427, authorizing and appropriating a one-time compensatory time payment to certain employees of the Ulster County Board of Elections.
I'll move it.
Thank you. Second.
Okay, moved by Chair Donaldson, seconded by Legislator Heppner. I will be offering an amendment. Perhaps I could do that first, just to start, if that's okay, and then we can have the discussion on the amendment. Jay, do you have it to put up, or should I just read it? I have to hang on a moment. It's in the first resolved. There we go. So the first resolved it's the bold and the strike through. The first resolve would now read, resolved that eight current employees of the Ulster County Board of Elections, excluding the titles of Commissioner of Election and Deputy Commissioner of Elections, shall receive a one-time payout of all accrued compensatory time balances, including compensatory time for hours worked over 105 accrued as of January 16th, 2021. And I'll make that as a motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. So on the amendment, but I'll open it to conversations on the entirety if need be. Legislator Ronk?
Just a question to you, I guess, as the sponsor, and not knowing anything about this until, you know, tonight when we're being forced to vote on it. You know, what is the reasoning behind January 16th?
Okay, so the reasoning behind January 16th is that the grant that we're going to be drawing, should this pass, the grant that the funds will be drawn from, is required to be put in as of January 30th. The final requests have to be put in on January 30th. The accounting for the expenses has to be as of December 31st, 2020, but it has to be put in on January 30th. So the last pay period that would allow time to get final numbers ends on January 16th. And the reason for pushing it out to January 16th, as opposed to leaving it at its previous date, is that it allows time for both sides of the commission of the Department of Board of Elections to draw down comp time, which is currently happening, so yep. that the final number will be smaller than the number had we passed it in November. Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. You know, a couple of comments. I wouldn't mind, you know, voting on the amendment first, and then I'll talk on the resolution, because my comments are not really on the amendment.
Okay. So on the amendment, are there any other comments? Okay. All in favor of the amendment? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And we have one recusal, Legislator Roberts. So it passes unanimously with one recusal, the amendment. On the resolution as amended, Legislator Ronk, you had your hand up?
Yeah, thanks. I will not be supporting this. I think it's great that we're, you know, giving some time for them to draw down the balances. I believe strongly, as I did before, that this is really a travesty for us to be doing for, you know, 8 employees, in one particular office that just happens to be our, you know, handpicked, you know, political appointees. They're the only ones being given this option for comp time. I will say that, you know, from what I understand, they're burning down a lot of comp time right now. And I believe that, you know, if we were to push this out further with the pandemic affecting county offices as it is, this is a group of people that really cannot work from home. And it's my understanding, you know, through communications that have been, you know, relayed to our clerk's office, that we're not doing at this point, you know, COVID time, where if you can't work from home, you're still getting, you know, your, you know, however many hours you work a day, depending on your bargaining unit number of hours. So it seems to me like a perfect opportunity to burn comp time without, you know, without payouts. I don't understand what the purpose is, for other than the fact that I guess we can use some grant money for this, but it's my opinion that we could use the grant money for something altogether different. I don't see the reason for this. I think that there's ample opportunity to burn down comp time, beyond January 16th, and I'll not be supportive of this. I really think that, you know, in a budget cycle when, you know, we removed, you know, salary increases from people, I don't see how we can give a payoff to these 8 people.
Sorry, I'm having problems with my mute button. Would anyone else like to speak on the resolution? Okay, so on the resolution, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? Legislator Ronk. And again, Legislator Roberts has recused himself from this vote. 4 in favor, 1 opposed, 1 recusal. Okay, moving on. Resolution number 436, calling the organizational meeting of 2021.
Move it.
Moved by Legislator Roberts, seconded by Legislator Guevaras. On the resolution, Legislator Guevaras. Oh, you're raising, vote, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. Resolution number 467, adopting proposed local law number 14 of 2020, a local law amending local law number 17 of 2007, a local law to create the Department of Environment and the Office of Coordinator of the Department of Environment for the County of Ulster.
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second it for discussion. Oh,
Moved by Chair Donaldson, seconded by Legislator Heppner and Legislator Ronk. On the
thank you. I'm going to be a no on this resolution. I feel after, you know, going through the budget process and seeing the salary increase that was in there for the current coordinator of the Department of the Environment, who's going to be now the director of the Department of the Environment, you know, I feel like it was sold to the public under false pretenses because the resolution had stated that there was no financial impact. But had we adopt the budget the county executive intended to, and from what I've heard about, you know, the deliberations in the Democratic caucus, that there's a desire there to, you know, through the year, find a way to increase the salary of this individual. You know, again, I feel like, you know, the public could be duped by, you know, seeing that this has no financial impact when it's frankly intended to have at some point a financial impact. So I'll be a no.
On the resolution, anyone else? Legislator Heppner, did you want to speak?
Sorry, I was just early on my vote.
Okay, so all those in favor of the resolution? Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Okay, Legislator Ronk opposed. Okay, we did seven, and now I don't know on the agenda. Do we have the? I don't see the rules on the agenda, but our plan was to discuss the rules. I don't know if we can with them out being. I didn't realize they weren't on the agenda.
They should be under old business.
Okay. Oh, I see. Old business. Okay, so let's go to the rules of the legislature. Jay, can you put it up to share, and we can run through the changes that we discussed on Thursday.
Can I ask a question?
You may.
Is there a reason why we're trying to get this done in a, dare I say, a hurry? I'm just curious. I feel like we've always kept this to special meetings in order to, you know.
I mean, I can answer the question, but let me first answer the question that the chair had suggested that it would be nice to begin the organizational meeting with the new rules. That said, I'm perfectly comfortable holding it off, but while we have a few minutes, I'd like to go through the changes that we move through and at least get consensus on what they say, and we'll see where we're at. I'll defer to the committee.
I mean, that's fine. I can tell you that I won't under any circumstances support such a move. You know, I think the last time that a chair of the legislature tried to do that was when Legislator Bernardo was chairwoman of the legislature. And I think that you practically staged a hunger strike about that. You were very unhappy on the floor of the legislature when she tried to start the year with new rules.
So. Yeah, it was not just that fact. It was some of the other changes that had been made without actually marking the changes. But I hear your point. There should be no problem going through these changes just to have the discussion. So if we...
Yeah, can I say something, Trace?
Sure. I'm sorry. I didn't see you once.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a no. I just thought it would be nice if we had it set up for the new year. But the process that we followed were not something that was being thrown down our throats or jammed down our throats as before. This is a process that we have worked on ourselves. It wasn't something that was dreamed up and thrown out at the last minute. So a little different.
Yeah, I think it's exceedingly different, especially given that this would be something that would be circulated in advance for approval. But again, I'm okay not moving it out of this committee. I just would like for us to discuss it since a lot of work was done between the last few days and now, and it'll put us in a better place even at the next meeting. Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. Just and then I'll shut up and unless anybody else has anything to say, we can just move through the changes. But I do think that it's different, but it still doesn't follow the proper, you know, process for changing the rules. And to say that, you know, on December 14th, it's going to be circulated and we're going to have less than a month to look at them before we try to adopt them in January, I wouldn't say is an exceedingly large amount of time, considering that our own rules say that rules changes require 2 months worth of deliberation. And now with the earlier resolution deadline, it's more like 2.5 months. I appreciate the fact that Chairman Donaldson is not necessarily interested in rushing it through. I think that that's a poor idea, no matter what the process was to get here. And I don't think that we're ready yet either. So
that's fine. Your point is noted. And I also said that I'm not interested in rushing it through. I would like, though, to quickly go through the points that were raised on Thursday, just so that we can even see if we need to do more work before the next meeting. And so we don't have to go through every tiny change. If we could just move through the sections with major changes. We just stopped screen sharing. I don't know what happened. Jay, do you still have the screen share? Oh, here we go. So if you can, Jay, if you can just scroll forward, we can skip through. Everyone can at their own time look through the ministerial changes and the smaller changes. But if we could look at the couple things that have come back from council that are bigger. Okay, here's one of them. This has to do with petition to discharge. I think this actually is clarifying language as well. Thereafter, if the requisite number of legislators have signed the petition to discharge as described above, the resolution shall be referred to the next full meeting of the county legislature for a vote, provided such full meeting is at least 10 days from the date that the minimum number of signatures needed pursuant to these rules have been made upon or with the authorization of the legislator placed upon the petition to discharge. At said full meeting of the county legislature, the discharged resolution may be adopted, defeated, or referred back to committee. If the discharge resolution is defeated in committee a second time, and should a second petition to discharge be successfully executed, the resolution shall only be subject to adoption or defeat by a full vote of the legislative body. That's pretty clear. And I don't think it actually is fundamentally changing what we're doing. It's just the language is clarified. If anyone has a problem with that, just speak up.
Okay, I don't have a problem with it, but I have a thought to bring forward, and it actually comes from the petition to discharge that I had executed on the use of the tax stabilization fund resolution. You know, just keep in your minds and think about whether we should make this the next full meeting or the next regular meeting, because the next full meeting would include any special meetings like the budget vote. I think it worked out this time because I feel like it was important for us to decide what we were doing with tax stabilization before we adopted the budget anyway. But until Vicky and I talked it out, I had I was under the opinion that it was going to show up at tomorrow night's meeting, because, you know, in the rules, we talk about regular meeting and full meeting. And, you know, we might want to standardize some of that. We might not, but I just want to throw that out there as just a thought.
No, I think it's a good thing to keep apprised of and to consider. And I think whatever we decide, it should be a thoughtful decision, not an accidental. So I think it's an important point. Okay, so we've made a note of that. And Jay, can you slide up to the next big one? This is just the clarifying language that we discussed. In the event that multiple appointments are considered for the same position, any legislator may, at his or her sole discretion, request that each candidate for appointment be presented on a separate resolution. Okay, that sounds straightforward. Anybody speak up? Okay. Ken, are you speaking? You're on mute. Go ahead.
Sorry. Have we thought out how that is going to functionally happen?
I think it's going to functionally, I mean, I'll just jump in, and I think it's going to functionally happen the way that it's currently happened. In other words, if we have a board that we're making three appointments to, and a legislator wants to vote on the three appointments separately because they want to vote no to one and yes to the others, then we would, that person would ask for this, for them to be separated. Go ahead.
Should we then make this make this specific to that the legislator may at his or her own discretion prior to passage by the committee, because resolutions are only divisible in committee, not on the floor. So it would have to be done in committee. This would lead you to believe that a legislator could make a motion to divide the resolution on the floor of the legislature, which is not proper procedure.
All right, well, we'll make a note. I think you'd want to be able to separate on the floor. We'd want to, I'm just speaking for myself, I think you'd want to allow the opportunity to separate on the floor, given that a legislator who's not on the committee might have a concern and want, and they shouldn't be required to vote on all three in a, we're all whatever in a blanket.
Right now, they would be though. Mm-hmm. The way our rules are written, we would need to change the divisibility of resolutions as well. Any of the councils on the line can correct me if I'm wrong there, but as far as I remember, when we addressed the divisibility of resolutions in the rules, they're only divisible in committee, because making things divisible on the floor makes a logistical nightmare for the clerk of the legislature and the staff.
Okay, I can't see any. Does any of the council want to weigh in? If not, okay, Councilor Ragucci.
Sure. I think Legislator or Leader Ronk, excuse me, is correct with respect to the procedure of a motion to divide. However, in this instance, based upon rules of statutory construction, the legislature, of course, has within its authority to set a specific rule regarding appointments for boards. So if this language is in our rules of order, specifically with regard to multiple candidates for multiple board positions, I think it would trump our standard procedure for meetings and motions.
I'm going to suggest we put a pin in this to make sure to confirm that assessment, and then we weigh in on the merit later as well. Okay, this is the language we talked about quite a bit at the last meeting, which says that every legislator shall be appointed to and required to serve on at least one and no more than three standing committees of the Ulster County Legislature. Notwithstanding the foregoing, legislators may at their discretion serve on more than three standing committees if appointed by the chair. Seems pretty straightforward. Does anyone have an issue with the way that language is crafted? Okay, let's move on then. And again, if I don't see you, just because of the screen share, speak up. Okay, these are two changes we discussed. A resolution considered at the first regular monthly meeting of Ways and Means Committee may be postponed until either the second regular monthly meeting of the same or the first regular monthly meeting of the following month. That's self-explanatory. And the second addition is to postpone to a special meeting. This is clarification, which shall occur no later than 60 days from the date said motion to postpone is passed, or at the next regularly scheduled committee meeting, whichever is sooner, with the consent of the sponsors. Legislator, can I ask, I can't see Legislator Heppner now, but Legislator Heppner, does that satisfy the concerns that you had? Legislator Heppner? You're on mute.
Yeah, I'm good at this moment.
Okay. Legislator Ronk, did you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, and this is something that, again, something that just came up recently that I think that we seriously need to address is when we talk about consent of the sponsors, whether it be postponement or amendment, I think that we need to set a time frame for that consent to be lodged. I still find extreme fault with the way that you failed to consent to the amendment last month at Ways and Means, because it happened the next day because of new information that was garnered the next day, and not at the meeting itself. Our rules are specific to if the sponsor is not present at the meeting, the clerk the next day informs them of the amendment and then, or postponement in this case, and then they have the opportunity to either agree or not agree to the amendment or postponement. The rules are silent when a member is at the committee meeting, and it would seem to me logical that the member be required at the committee meeting to consent or not consent. So I just think that that might need to be buttoned up.
Okay. Right. Clerk Muller, you made a note of that? Thank you. Okay. All right, so for this one, I just want to raise this, and this is something we're gonna need to think about. So this has to do with the vacancy of a chair, and what we've been attempting to do, I know that Legislator Roberts at the last meeting talked about adding language to provide for a secondary level of procedure so that it wouldn't get to the point of an executive appointment. And one of the things that was suggested was the possibility that the vice chair, Legislator Roberts suggested to me that the vice chair would then assume the role. Council Ragucci has put in two other options here for everyone to look at. But what I want to raise everyone's awareness to is that if we put in a change of language that that essentially takes the authority from the executive to make that appointment in terms of our inability to do it, if it becomes a de facto appointment, or we give it to, as is suggested, the majority leader, that we would be open to a charter. It would be a charter change, and it would require a referendum because it would change the power of the executive. So I think this is going to require a little deeper discussion, but we need to all be aware of how far we want to go with that. Does anyone want to say anything on this subject? Legislator Roberts?
Yeah, I'll weigh in, Tracy. Thank you very much. I don't know how far you want to push this. You know, it's not a, you know, do or die for myself. I just brought it up because I think it's a something that may arise in the future, and we don't have an answer for it.
Yeah, I agree. Anybody else want to speak on this right now? Okay, so we'll come back to that. But everyone think about it before the next one. Annually, the members of the two political parties which have polled the largest in the last general election for the county shall elect a leader of the respective parties. The leader of the political party whose membership of the legislature constitutes a majority of the legislature shall be known as the majority party. The leader of the other political party shall be known as the minority leader. For purposes of any mathematical calculation necessary, any legislator may, within 30 days of being sworn into office, declare themselves a member of the majority, minority, or third party caucus by filing a document to that effect with the clerk. Comments, anybody? Okay.
Hold on, I'm can you just pause for 1 second?
Sure. Legislator Roberts, were you raising your hand? Were you about to speak?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
I thought that we had talked about the possibility of requiring that everybody designate, you know, because, you know, any legislator, you know, may within 30 days declare themselves a member of the majority, minority, or third party caucus by filing a document to that effect with the clerk. You know, but right now we have a legislator serving with us that refused to sign on to either caucus, which again puts us in the same spot, I think.
Can I just ask for clarification of what you're suggesting? Are you suggesting that in that instance that the person would have to sign into one or the other, or that they could sign into a third party?
All three of them.
Yeah, I think he's saying and correct me if I'm wrong, Leader Wrong. It's you're just suggesting instead of may saying shall. Must or shall,
yeah,
which I don't disagree with, just for, you know, keeping things clean. I think it does add more confusion when you kind of have a floating situation.
Okay,
what happens if they don't?
Not a bad follow-up question.
All right, we'll make a note.
I mean, yeah, it's it's one of those things like right now we have a clause in the charter that says no legislator shall serve in any other elective public office, but a large portion of the legislature, even while knowing that there was a legislator illegally serving, just looked the other way. So, and that's in our charter. That's not even in our rules. I mean, you know, what happens if they don't is a fair question, but you don't make rules, you know, that are impenetrable to rule breaking, as we saw with our charter. It was just, I mean, plainly ignored.
But let's
ignoring something is one thing. What if somebody doesn't ignore it? There could have been people that did not want to ignore it and, you know, brought some type of a suit.
I think both these are good points, and I just think we need a little bit of time to
And I think it's a worthwhile question that we should endeavor to answer. There may be a way that if you don't sign into one or the other, you're in your own caucus. I don't know. We should endeavor to try to answer it. And if we can't, we can't. Okay, these are technical changes. Now we're down into the order of business. Public comment, which shall be limited to items appearing on the meeting agenda or matters currently before any standing committee. That's prior to the presentation of motions. And then at the end, public comment on non-agenda items after the announcements of the committee meetings. Okay, everybody's good? All right, mm-hmm. Moving on. Decorum. This is suggested censure language. I'm going to read it since probably most of you haven't, and then you can all think about it before our next meeting. The legislature hereby recognizes that censure is a formal group recognition that a given member's conduct runs counter to the legislature's accepted standards of behavior. Censure is to be utilized as a serious rebuke. In turn, notwithstanding any other section of these rules of order, any legislator may at any time submit a resolution for consideration of the legislature seeking to censure another member. Such resolution will clearly state the reason for the proposed censure. Such resolution will not be considered in any committee, but will be considered by the full body at the next full meeting of the legislature. A resolution seeking to censure a member requires a majority vote of the members of the legislature. The resolution is debatable. The member in question can participate in the debate but cannot cast a vote. In the event that the chairperson is the subject of the censure, the vice chairperson will conduct the meeting during that portion of the agenda. A resolution to censure cannot be postponed or referred and cannot be reconsidered. A member cannot be censured twice for the same offense. Mr. Heppner?
Yeah, no, I feel pretty good with where we're at with this. I think you and I had this conversation, Legislative Botelis is just adding also that it may not be amended on the floor.
I like that too.
I want to throw out an idea for folks to consider.
Sure, go ahead and
listen. You know, I can think of more legislators than I could count on one hand since I've served here over the last 13 years that could have used this as a political weapon to just censure somebody. I mean, saying that we understand, you know, that it's a formal group recognition and that it should be utilized as a serious rebuke. Is there a thought process? I mean, my thought process is, I guess, that we should put some sort of a requirement of number of sponsors. I don't think that any legislator should be able to sponsor a resolution himself or herself to censure another legislature without having to have some pretty good consensus on the subject.
And a bipartisan consensus, I believe.
Yes, that's a great point. I feel like this is a danger for us to, you know, to put this in there and have any legislator be able to, on their own, sponsor something that goes to the floor, doesn't go through committee. I don't know. That's just my.
I agree. I think it's too open for abuse, and that would be my concern with it. I think you have to have a number. Maybe we could work a number that makes sense. You know, as sponsors, you know, like for instance, we have a certain number in order to you know, move a committee, a resolution out of committee. Maybe we could look at one of those. Maybe the idea should be bipartisan. Have to have somebody, or similar to what that is, it has to be a couple more than maybe somebody from each side of the aisle, at least. That may be another aspect of doing it, but I really think that this, you know, with one person being able to do this, I can see certain members of the legislature, you know, at some point during my tenure that would really use this in a manner that wouldn't be, you know, very good for the body.
I'll say it out loud. Bob Aiello would be censuring a new person every week.
Let's all think about what limitations potentially we want to put on it with regard to numbers of sponsors and or whether or not it's bipartisan. I do want to point out that since we're governed, you know, by Robert's rules right now allows a censure to be made as a motion on the floor by anyone at any, you know, at any time where there's not regular business going on. So, but it does require a second. So that would be a second person. So I think I'm hearing some consensus on further limiting the ability beyond just making it a resolution. So maybe everyone can think about what would make them comfortable in terms of the numbers of sponsors and whether or not to require that it be bipartisan.
I also think that you might want to add some language in that. I realize that, you know, we as people that have been around a while, you know, understand the severity of doing something like that, even though, I mean, it's really just in some ways, a slap on the wrist, but it's really on the other hand, it does say something about the person and it will follow them for the rest of their lives. So my mindset would be, I think something like that should be added to that. In other words, the severity of what this means.
The severity of what it means or what you're allowed to censure for, are you suggesting?
I think just the idea that this is not, you know, saying something like this is not to be done lightly or something of that nature.
Okay. I think it says something like that, but I can make the language more extreme. Legislator Roberts?
I didn't see that. All right.
Legislator Roberts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And do we want to raise the standard to censor somebody, maybe have a supermajority? And or if a person is censored, is there a mechanism that he could appeal it?
Appeal of a censure. I feel like we're opening up a serious, I mean, the idea of appeal, because who would you appeal it to? You'd have to appeal it back to the body. I think it's
maybe
meant to
the
be.
Ethics committee?
Okay, well, let's make a note of it and let's raise the issue. Everyone think about it and we'll do some research between now and the next meeting.
Chair Botelis, I don't think you can see it, but Legislator Cahill has his hand raised. I think.
I didn't see it. Thank you, Legislator Cahill.
Thanks, Majority Leader Heppner. Hi, Chasey. So, you know, I don't know if we can do this, but as far as getting a consensus, could we do something like a majority of each caucus to bring a censure? In other words, that would take any partisanship out of it completely, right? Just an idea.
Okay. All right. I'm keeping notes as well. We'll address. I think we want to, the idea is also finding the balance where it can't be abused. I mean, there's always the possibility of abuse, but it also doesn't make it so difficult to be able to speak out against a serious rebuke in a standard of behavior. So we're looking for potentially the majority of each caucus or number of sponsors, bipartisan consensus, a supermajority, and the possibility for appeal. All these things have been raised, and I think they should all be looked into. All right. When a member may be excused from voting, this is what we erroneously refer to as abstain. So now it says, every member who shall be in the legislative chamber when a question is stated by the chairperson shall vote. A member may only be recused from voting on a question in which he or she has a direct personal or pecuniary interest not common to other members of the legislature. The member must state his or her connection with the question. In such instances, the member must remove him or herself from any participation in discussion and or debate on the subject. So just clarifies. Okay, I keep going to scroll, but it's you, Jay.
You have Leader Ronk and Council Oguchi with hands up.
Thank you, Leader Ronk. Go ahead.
Did we specify whether or not presence in the room constitutes, you know, participating? I mean, I don't think it does, but.
You know, when we were at the NYSAC committee, I'll just respond to that. And then what I'll ask is that we do a little legal research between now and then. When we were at the NYSAC committee meeting and we spoke to the attorney, he mentioned that he recommends that in recusal situations that he asks people to leave the room. But I don't know if it's required. I think the minimum is no participation on any level on the subject, but you raise a good point. And I think that if we can make a note to do the legal research on that, that would be helpful.
Yep.
Council Raguchi, did you have your hand up?
No, never mind. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, moving on. I think that might, we're very near the end here. That's it. Okay, so goes without saying, we'll pick this up at the next meeting. It'll be on the agenda. So if everyone has any thoughts between now and then, maybe we can share it through Clerk Mahler to the group, and we'll refine this further. We'll get a refined draft and any legal answers, that legal research back to everyone as well. All right, is there any other old business that anyone would like to discuss? Legislator Heppner?
Make a motion to close.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, all in favor of closing? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, unanimous consent to adjourn. Thank you all and have a great night.
Folks in the Democratic Caucus, it's a different link, so we'll see you on shortly.